This podcast is brought to you by WRFL, Radio Free Lexington. Find us online at WRFL.fm. Catch us on your FM radio while you're in Central Kentucky at 88.1 FM, all the way to the left. Thank you for listening, and please be sure to subscribe.
Good afternoon, and thank you for tuning in to WRFL Lexington. It's 4 o'clock, and you're listening to Green Talks, where we explore the people and projects that are using the environmental stewardship fee to promote sustainability in the UK community. I'm your host, Lauren Thomas, and I'm the current Director of Outreach for the Student Sustainability Council. The funding for the projects featured on our show comes from the environmental stewardship fee, a $3.50 fee that all UK students pay along with tuition each semester. The ESF, which is expected to generate approximately $170,000 by the end of the school year, is distributed by the Student Sustainability Council, hereafter the SSC, for various projects that enhance the culture of sustainability here at the University of Kentucky. This week, I am joined by Rachel Cook. She is a sophomore student here at UK. She received funding from the SSC to pursue research this summer through the Summer Sustainability Fellowship that the UK Sustainability Council is funding again. It's a project that we really love, and so I always love hearing about it on the show. How are you doing?
Pretty good.
Nice.
Looks like it's about to rain, so.
Unfortunately so. It's going to be a really fun walk back. So, can you give me a general overview about what your research was all about?
So this summer I participated in agroecology research with a professor here at UK. Her name is Krista Jacobson, and I also partnered with her partners at the University of Georgia, John Scrampty, and his assistant, Dylan Munn. And so what we looked at, we're looking at how growing methods work across five different agricultural systems. And to do that, we picked three crops, and we used that at each of the different systems. And the first of those systems are the conversion of a fallow field to a field that you're planting in. Then we used stationary high tunnels. We used movable high tunnels, conventional fields, and then a traditional organic type of field setup.
So what's a high tunnel for you or listeners who may not be familiar with the term?
So it's basically a metal structure that's covered in a type of plastic, and it works similar to what a greenhouse would, and so it keeps the heat high. And with high tunnels, you can plant earlier in the season. The only difference from a field is that you have to place irrigation down,
okay,
and you have to be very careful with how you water them.
Right. So can you explain where this research was taking place? A lot of people don't know what sort of facilities UK has on campus, and it's really cool to hear about everything that the local population may not see every day.
Yeah, actually, part of her research was done in conjunction with Elmwood Farms, which is on the north side of Lexington. Mm-hmm. So that part I didn't actually take place, like work with. But I focused on UK South Farm, which is it's down Man of War, right across from the mall. And down there, UK has all of their agricultural research, and that's where their CSA program is based out of, and there's also a vineyard located on that farm.
Oh, wow, I didn't even know that.
Yeah, it's actually pretty cool.
That's so cool. I love that. So can you give us a rundown about what you were measuring for, what you were looking for? I know that you had mentioned something about greenhouse gas emissions and sort of the resources behind each of these variables. So can you give us a rundown about that?
Yeah, so we looked at the nitrogen and carbon cycling in each of the different systems. And to do that, we use what they call resin bags. And so they're little beads that have chemicals in them. And you wet them and you place them in. We use like a pantyhose type material, and you tie off the bag and you place it at varying depths. And then we have a lysimeter, which it uses the same type of beads, but it gets more of them, and it's placed deeper in a PVC pipe structure. So it's easier to keep It just keeps it underground better. Mm-hmm. And so we take those out. The lysimeters come out every 3 months, and the resin bags come out, I think, once a month. And so you're testing in those, like, how much nitrogen is in the soil at that point in time, how much carbon is in the soil. And we have to time it just right, because you can't do it while it's raining or mm-hmm. after it's just rained, because it'll skew the results.
Okay. So what exactly are you looking to get out of this research? Like, what's the end goal of trying to find the differences between these five techniques? Is it just trying to find what's more efficient, or?
It's actually looking at which is the most sustainable system, and okay. which the research itself may not fully answer, because it's all based here in Lexington. Mm-hmm. So it might be what's sustainable for, like, these parts of Lexington, mm-hmm. but it's really going to quantify what sustainable might mean, because we're looking at both the labor inputs and, like, all of the water inputs, all the material that goes into it, alongside the gas emissions, and really looking at, like, how much produce you get out of that per plant and per system. And so it's really, like, intense, like, very much a holistic view of sustainability.
Okay, very cool. So how does this project fit in with the three pillars of sustainability that we all love to talk about on the show so much, the social equity, economic vitality, and ecological integrity?
Well, to start off with, the easiest one of those to answer would be the ecological integrity, because we're looking at which is going to be the most beneficial for the soil itself and the environmental health. And so, you know, like, again, that's with, like, the nitrogen cycling and mm-hmm. whatnot, and how much produce you get out of that. And that's why we took into account the conventional systems alongside of the others, and the conversion from a fallow to a utilized field. Mm-hmm. So we're really just trying to look at how do these different methods impact the environment. On the economic side, that is the better question here, because for that, we're having to look at all the different costs, and if it costs more to be to maybe use a high tunnel more than your conventional field. So it's really just looking at how much input is going into this. And then for the social aspect of this, well, this research will be published, and a lot of people actually already who know Krista know a lot about it, and we're working with our partners in UGA, so the information is going to be spread down there also. And so socially, it'll help benefit farmers in Kentucky when they're looking at what might be the most feasible practice for themselves.
Mm-hmm. We had the former host, for any loyal listeners that might have remembered back when Ellen Green was hosting this show, we had her on to talk about her scope in this research, because this is a really long project, which we'll touch on later, but she was talking last semester about really looking at the disconnect between what farmers and local consumers think is sustainable versus, like, actual sustainable habits, which was a really cool sort of social aspect that you don't really get to see a lot in ag, which was a really unique perspective, I think. So that's something that I always really like to hear about with the sustainability fellowships that we hand out, that they are so inclusive of all of those three pillars. It's definitely a project worth looking into for sure. So can you touch on a little bit of the timeline for this project? This is a really, like, far-reaching thing, so just your experience with how this is all playing out.
Luckily, I got in on pretty much the last 3 or 4 months of the project. Krista's project has been going on for the past 3 years.
So intense.
Yeah, so it started in the fall of 2014, and so it will end this fall, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so the timeline. So in the fall, we start with the fall crops. So mm-hmm. that would be our collards. And so we harvest those from, we plant those around October, November, I believe. And they harvest until about January, midway through January, sometimes into February. Then there's a month or two where it's just cover crops. depending on the system, depends on like which cover crop is used. And then in about March, they begin, depending on the field also, I should say, because some fields it isn't feasible to start planting this early, but we start with the beets. And so the beets start harvesting around May, somewhat into June. I actually got to harvest the last few rounds with Krista this summer before it got too hot. And then we look at peppers throughout the summertime. And so those go from, we started planting those at the beginning of June, and we harvested those probably, I'm going to say midway through September, we'll still be harvesting those.
Wow.
Yeah.
For sure. So how did you get involved with this project? How did you come on board?
That's a pretty fun story. I think you all have had her on before, Lillian Brislin. I did an internship with her the past semester, and the first day we met, she asked me what my interests were. So I told her that aside from being very interested in the environment, because I grew up on a farm, I really want to do some consulting work with farmers at some point in my life. And she said, well, you know, Chris is a really good person. You should really get in contact with her. I'm going to set up a meeting between you guys. So that meeting happened, and we sat and talked for almost 2.5 hours, not just about the research itself, just about life. And we got along really well, and I said, you know, if I get this scholarship, can I join your research this summer? And she said, definitely. Like, I'd love to have you on. You know, it would be great to see you work with us. And so I managed to get the scholarship, and here we sit.
Here we sit a few months later. So what is your end project going to be out of this? Do you have to publish a report? What are you doing with that?
Yeah, so as a requirement of the scholarship, and also because I want to, we publish a midway report. Mm-hmm. I don't think that one gets actually published, but like we send that in. And then there's a final report, and then I believe it's in April. I'm going to do a poster presentation for undergrad research fair here at Kentucky.
That showcase is always so cool to go to and see and just walk around. It's just a great opportunity being at a university like this where we all have the opportunity to do stuff like this. So
yeah,
presenting there is awesome. So that's going to be a lot of fun for you. We're actually going to take a quick break, and we will be right back with more talk of the Sustainability Fellowship.
Hey there. If you're enjoying this podcast from WRFL Lexington, you may enjoy our live radio stream at WRFL.fm and, of course, via radio at 88.1 FM in the Central Kentucky area. We have a wide variety of programs you're sure to enjoy. Just go to WRFL.fm/schedule and see what programs appeal most to you. Thanks again for listening to this podcast from WRFL Lexington.
And we're back. I am Lauren Thomas. I'm the host of Green Talks. I'm joined by Rachel Cook. She's a sophomore student at UK. She did some research on UK South Farm this summer, and we're just discussing that. Could you give me a little bit of insight about what your actual role in the project was, what you were doing day-to-day on the farm?
Yeah, I actually wasn't supposed to be on the farm day-to-day. I was doing data. So I was the one who was collecting the different watering logs, going through. The really fun part, I thought, of what I did this summer was I looked at how many plants were in trays in the greenhouse, and I had to calculate approximately how long a person would spend watering one of those trays, and then calculate how many gallons of water were used per plant per month within the greenhouse, which was really cool to see, like, how many final gallons you get out of that.
Yeah,
it was a fun little project. It was really difficult to calculate that all. Excel was my best friend the entire summer.
Of course, that's typical in research.
Yeah. So I did a lot of stuff like that. Krista had a lot of, since it was such a long project, the assistants that she's had working for her have switched hands a few times. So a lot of it was tracking down data, like who had the yield data that from such and such year, and we had to figure out there were some issues with the electric company because they were charging too much, so we had to go and find not only the original bill to tell where the locations were, but the corrected bills to show how much electricity was actually used. One of my first days there, Kristen and I had to figure out the heater unit and how many watts it took, which means we climbed up on ladders in the greenhouses, which are about 20 feet tall, and like try and take a picture on my phone so that I could run serial numbers to find the heater unit, like its brand and its specifications.
Oh, man.
Which we just were like, well, we're just monkeying around today. And then, yeah, that was a lot of what I did. A lot of it was since our partners in UGA who are doing all the computer modeling, who needed all the data, they are engineers, and sometimes things got lost in communication between Krista and the head down there. And so I would be the person to take what Krista said and try and figure out what they need or what they need and try and figure out a way to, like, tell it to Krista so that, like, I could get them the information that they needed. And that was kind of like long emailing processes or, you know, like having to explain, oh, this is what this actually means, like interchangeably, like using words. Like sometimes we'd say trays of plants or like we would just like use different words for trays or like wind strips because that's what they're called. And so, it was a lot of, oh, this is what we actually mean by this. Or we would say, oh, the stationary tunnels, and they would be like, okay, are those what numbers are those in the data? And so it was a lot of that. And then because I just enjoyed being out on the farm, I also kind of worked as one of just her assistants. And so I would work and I would help them harvest all of the different crops that she had going, because she also has other research projects. But so I got to actually be the one harvesting the beets and the peppers that I was like analyzing.
Definitely. That's awesome. You kind of touched on this a little bit while you were just speaking to that, but what would you say was your greatest challenge over your whole research endeavor?
Trying to get the data and get the data where it needed to go and making sure it was clear enough for other people to understand. Like, a lot of times I thought I had emailed something and I didn't, or I maybe named a file something that I understood, but maybe they didn't understand, or I thought that I had given them the data that they didn't have. So it was a lot of like beating around the bush, like, oh, this is what we need, this is what we need. We'd have weekly Skype meetings, and sometimes those were just us trying to all get on the same page when we're all saying the same thing different ways. And that was kind of frustrating, but it was rewarding once we got it all figured out and got the information where it needed to go.
So I know that the research hasn't concluded yet, but do you have any idea about what the outcomes are going to be? Which of these five methods are most effective to balance ecological integrity with economic vitality?
Not fully. I haven't actually seen the completed models since we just got all the data to them, like right as the summer was finishing up. So I can't speak to that, but it was interesting to see some slight differences between the different high tunnels specifically, because that's what I worked in a lot of the time. And that you could see that stationary tunnels had more weed issues and a lot of times more bug issues.
Interesting.
And they were slightly cooler or slightly hotter than the movable tunnels. And the movable tunnels, we actually had problems where plants were getting too big, like they were growing too well almost.
Interesting.
So there was a difference, and there was one of the movable tunnels that was actually 5 degrees colder on any cooler on any given day than the highest of the stationary tunnels. So it was just like weird differences like that when you're just like glancing over the data that you kind of notice. I don't know that the yield data was super different, but I'm guessing that the different input datas will be the thing that really marks which system is better. Just because some of the tunnels really, or some of the different systems, like, had serious weed issues. Like, and that just takes human labor. Sometimes that takes more pesticide and herbicide labor. Like, that all adds up, especially when you're looking at how many hours of labor are going into it, along with the resources going into it.
So how do you see this research affecting the overall sphere of just local agriculture? What would this mean for local farmers and local consumers as far as the breadth of the research?
I think it would go to just give a more informed opinion whenever a starting out farmer or a farmer who's converting a field or something, when they're looking to expand some already like utilized fields, or if they're maybe looking into like organic or something along those lines, I think it'll just serve as an informative piece. Like, oh, here's some research in looking into which of these might be better for your specific farm, your specific needs. I think that is going to be the main outcome of this.
Definitely. It's a really, really awesome project that I've loved hearing about from multiple perspectives, and I can't wait to see how it all turns out, and I'm really looking forward to the undergraduate research showcase in a few months to really see everything that came together. But thank you so much for coming on today.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I enjoyed talking about what I did.
Of course, of course. So just some closing announcements. The SSC is providing funding to send 5 students to ASHE, the Association for the Advancement of Sustainability in Higher Education. Their conference is happening in Baltimore this year, and 5 students will be going on the SSE's dime. So more details on how to apply for this funding can be found at uky.edu/sustainability/AC2016. All SSE meetings are open to the public and are announced on our website. Keep up with projects, meetings, and events at uky.edu/sustainability/student-sustainability-council. And any member of the University of Kentucky community can submit a proposal to the Student Sustainability Council to receive funding support from the Environmental Stewardship Fee. You can find more information on the SSC and other related organizations also on that sustainability website. You can also like us on Facebook at UKYSSE, or follow us on Twitter. I will be around next week with another funded project from the SSC. Thanks for listening.